Yeah, I'm positive. This message is for them too. They need to hear it just as much as any of us, as far as I'm concerned. I'm used to that. That's my group right there, so I know they listen to me every Wednesday night. So you know, that's all good if they want to be in here. I'm glad that little Elliot and Emerson came with us to church on Sunday night. Like, we got home today from Mom and Dad's, and we had visitors. It was Elliot and Emerson. They was coming up to play, but I talked them into coming to church. I didn't have to twist their arms too hard. But anyway, I told my kids tonight, I said, y'all go out and greet people as they're coming in. And when they're coming in, you tell them, welcome to Valley View Baptist Church, something like that. Visitor cards are on the left. You can sit anywhere you want, but seventh row. Do not sit in the seventh row, because if you sit in the seventh row, the people that usually sit there will get real mad. London told Miss Shelby that. So I was just saying, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Seventh row, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's you. I'm just kidding. Anyway, you know, it's never easy getting up here. I think if you get comfortable serving the Lord, if you get comfortable, we better be careful if we get comfortable serving the Lord. I mean, if it's easy and you're not being battled and you're not nervous and you don't have butterflies and, you know, something inside of you telling you that you ain't good enough, you know, you get old Satan over here trying to remind you of your past the whole time, you get into God's Word and you start studying and you start praying for something to preach on, and you want it to be effective and you don't want to be mean and you don't want to step on nobody's toes. But let me tell you, a lot of times when I'm sincere in my prayer life, when I ask God to give me the message, I bet you every single time, it might not be for y'all, but it's for me. You understand what I'm talking about? And all this week, my toes have been stepped on by just studying and getting in God's Word and talking about this subject of following Jesus. Following Jesus. I told the Sunday school class this morning, I guarantee you, if I ask this crowd right here, right now, how many of you are a follower of Jesus, every single one of you would raise your hand, including with me. But I want to challenge you tonight to think about that for a minute. What does it mean to truly follow Jesus Christ? What does it mean? Little ones, what does it mean? Look, you know, y'all little ones know it doesn't matter about your parents' relationship that they have with Jesus Christ. It don't matter about that. Kids, it don't matter that your granddaddy's a pastor. It don't matter that your dad and stepdad's up here right now. You guys back there, Jackson, Autumn, little Sophie, it don't matter that your mom and daddy's in church. Little Mason, over here, bud, look, it doesn't matter that your mom and daddy's in church. I'm glad they are, but you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ yourself when you get old enough to understand. And it don't matter how old or young you are, Jesus has called us time and time again to what? Follow Him. And that's what we're going to read tonight. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. I have not seen Brother Ray Lyon since the last time he was here at our church. He had no idea what I was going to preach on. I had no idea what he was going to preach on. But you're going to find some similarities and some similar scriptures. And I tell you, when he started preaching this morning, I leaned over Danielle and I said, I'm going to be hitting over a lot of this stuff tonight. You know what that tells me? That God is talking to us. He is trying to get our attention. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. It says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he traveled on down the beach a little further, and he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, and I'm begging you. I'm begging you, Lord, to fill each and every person, including myself, with your Spirit tonight. Lord, I pray that you would give me remembrance that everything that you've laid on my heart tonight, Lord, that it's not about me, Lord. It's about you, 100% about you, Lord. And I pray that you would speak in and through me. Give me strength. Give me courage, Lord. Give me remembrance. Give me retention. And Lord, I don't want to offend nobody. I don't want to say anything that's out of context here tonight. I just want to be a servant, Lord, a clean vessel that can be used of you. And Lord, I hope and pray that everything that I say and do tonight will glorify your name, for you are worthy. Lord, I want to thank you so much for saving me. I want to thank you so much for loving me unconditionally. I want to thank you so much for allowing me to serve you. I want to thank you so much for my church and my church family. And Lord, I just pray that you would be, your presence would be so overwhelming here, Lord, that you would transform lives tonight, that we'd be open and honest with ourselves, Lord, and we'd be open and honest with you, Lord. Give conviction where needed, Lord, and we're going to thank you for all these things, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This passage here describes how Jesus saw Peter and Andrew, and he saw James and John, and it says that they were with their boats, and they were with their nets, and they were with their relatives, and that he said to them, "Follow me." And they got up immediately. They didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to have a business meeting about it. They didn't have to get approval about it. He said, "Follow me." And the Bible, based on what I just read, they got up immediately. They left and they followed him. That's what they did. Can I ask you right now? Can I ask you, like I asked myself earlier this week, and I've been asking myself every day since God has laid this message on my heart, what would you do right now? What would I, Brian Sink, do right now if Jesus Christ came walking down the aisle, stood right in front of me, and sat there and looked at me? What would I think if Jesus Christ came to your office, if he came to your home, or if he stood before you right now in this church and he said, "Follow me"? What would you do? Can I tell you, Jesus Christ might not walk down through here in the flesh, but based on his word, I believe he's here tonight, and through the Spirit, he is telling us to follow him. Follow me. It's a consistent command to follow. Jesus is repeatedly called to people was for people to follow him. In the scripture we read right here, he commands both sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew and James and John, to do the same thing. Follow me. In Matthew chapter 8, when some of the men were asking about being his disciples, he gave them that command, follow me. And later in Matthew 9, he finds Matthew, this tax collector, and guess what he told him? Follow me. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is speaking about the meaning of being a disciple, and he says, "And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." These ain't my words tonight. These is in the Bible. This is God's word telling us to follow him. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus met a rich young ruler. Y'all know the story. And after testing this rich young ruler about his money, guess what he tells him? Come and follow me. And at the end of the book, at the end of the book of John, after Jesus, he had been crucified, he had been buried, he had resurrected, and he appeared to his disciples just before he left the earth, and he told Peter one last time, follow me. Over and over and over, Jesus told those who he met in Scripture to follow me. And this is exactly, I believe, what he's telling us today. It's a consistent and vital part, I believe, of what it means to be in the right relationship with the Lord. I'm not talking about a relationship with the Lord. I'm talking about the right relationship with the Lord. We are to follow him, period. So, what does this mean? What does it mean? I think in order to find out what it means, I'd like to talk about a couple things that following Jesus doesn't mean. Following Jesus doesn't mean just showing up to church on Sunday night. I think a lot of people would say this. I think a lot of Christians and a lot of churches would say this, and probably me at times as well. When somebody would ask you, hey, do you follow Jesus? Yeah, I do, because I go to church. Just going to church is not following Jesus. Going to church should obviously be a part of following Jesus, but isn't there much more than just going to church? We can go to church. Do you realize this? We can go to church. There's people all in churches tonight all over the world, and they're not followers of Jesus. In fact, you can go to church, the Bible says, and be possessed by a demon. In Mark chapter 1, the verse that Mr. Lyons read tonight, today, the Bible says Jesus went into the synagogue to preach. And then in verse 23 of Mark 1, it says that there was a man in the synagogue with a demon who cried against Jesus. He was in the synagogue. Okay, the same thing in church. You can be sitting in church and be demon possessed. Based on what I say, based on what the Word of God says. All kinds of people who belong to the devil are going to church tonight. Going to church is not the same as following Jesus. Following Jesus does not mean that just believing in who He is. There's a lot of people that believe there's a Jesus. James 2, 19 and 20 tells us, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and tremble. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is dead? James says, based on that verse, the demons believe who Jesus is. John 12, 42 tells us, nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing Him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men more than the approval of God. The Bible says that these people in John 12, 42, that these people believed who Jesus was, but they were ashamed to confess Him, and they were lost. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? For these first disciples that we're reading about here, these first four, these brothers, two sets of brothers here, it literally meant physically leaving where they were and following Him wherever He went. Peter and Andrew and James and John, they did exactly that. Verse 20 in the original text says, Peter and Andrew immediately left their nets and they followed Him. They literally left where they were and they walked with Jesus. Verse 22 of that same chapter says that James and John did the same thing. They immediately left the boat and their father and followed Him. Matthew did the same thing. The author of this book, Matthew, did the same thing in 9:9. He got up from his tax collector's office and he walked out with Jesus. All of these men literally left what they were doing. They left things behind and they started following Jesus. They left their jobs. They left their nets. They left their families. They left their priorities. They left their plans. They left their retirement plans. They left their appointments. They left where they were comfortable. They left all kinds of things, no doubt about it, to follow Jesus. So we see that the following Jesus, it must mean that we're going to be doing some things differently. There will be some things that we have to what? Leave behind. Now it's safe to say that we're in a little bit different situation today than what those disciples were, by the fact that Jesus does not physically stand before us in a physical presence and say, follow us. Right? But I don't want to lose too much of that translation, because following Jesus still means that we, even though we're not physically following the physical Jesus, it still should mean that we should be leaving things behind. Y'all agree? Amen. It means you leave behind your life that you might have planned that was centered around you or me. When we follow Jesus, our life is about Him. It should be centered about Him. So the question of your life should be, the question of my life should be, no longer what I want to do, but what God tells me to do. It's no longer what I feel like doing. It doesn't matter what you feel like doing, Brian Sink. It's what His Word instructs me to do is the way it ought to be. Our life is not about what we can achieve here on earth. And a lot of times we get caught up in that. But it's what we store up in heaven is what should be important. We are leaving behind our old way of life to follow Jesus in a brand new kind of life. It also means that we should be leaving behind our sin. Right? Amen. If we're following Jesus, we should be leaving behind our sin. Following Jesus should not mean that we can keep on doing whatever we were doing before, and the only difference is that now our sins are forgiven because we have Jesus to clean us up. Sinning and then coming to the altar or wherever you are, asking for forgiveness for the exact same sin, 52 Sundays in a row, there's absolutely something wrong with that, in my opinion, okay? In other words, there's got to be some repentance somewhere, doesn't it? Willfully sinning. Following Jesus includes leaving behind our sin. One of the most amazing displays of grace, and there's a lot of them, but one of the most amazing displays of grace of Jesus was when He had dealt with the adulterous woman in John 8. Y'all remember that? We talked about it in Sunday school. Caught in the very act and shamed publicly, Jesus told her, "Neither do I condemn you." But He also said in that exact same sentence, "Now go and sin no more." Truly following Jesus does not mean we just go on and on doing whatever we want and Jesus will continue to forgive us. Following Jesus should mean imitating Him who was tempted in all things as we were, yet without sin. Amen. Following Jesus means living a holy life like He did. We leave our sins behind. If we were to look on the road behind Jesus and the disciples, we'll find all kinds of things that were probably left behind. We know of some things for sure because it talks about it. There were fishing nets left behind. There was a boat left behind. There were family members left behind. There was a business left behind. There was money left behind. There were sins left behind. There were sinful partners in relationships who had to be left behind. There was ego and selfishness and self-centeredness left behind. There were careers left behind. Following Jesus means leaving everything behind. And we struggle with that. At least I do. Maybe you're sitting right here and you say, "This message don't apply to me." Well, let me tell you something. You should be up here preaching. You should be up here preaching then, not me. I think there's seasons in our life where we may follow Jesus the way we ought to. But I can't honestly sit here and tell you that I'm following Jesus the way that I ought to. And there's something wrong with that. So a good question that we should ask ourselves right here is this. Let me ask you, individually, personally, what have you, I know what I've left behind and what I haven't left behind. Let me ask you, what have you left behind to follow Jesus? You think about that. Are there some things that you no longer do or participate in because you are a follower of Jesus? Are there dreams that you no longer dream because you are a follower of Jesus or you are following Jesus? Are there people you can no longer associate with because you are following Jesus? If you are really following Jesus, there will be things left behind on the road behind us. Every single one of us. If we are truly following Jesus, there has to be things left behind. It just makes sense. Think about it. If you're following Jesus, it means you're not following something else. You're following Jesus. That's right? That's kind of common sense. You don't need a Bible scholar to figure that out. It means you are leaving something behind. So what have you, ask yourself, I've asked myself, what have I, Brian Sink, left behind for Jesus? And then ask yourself this question, what should I be leaving behind to follow Jesus? Again, I'm not here to beat you up, but if the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you, then ask yourself, what should I be leaving behind to follow Jesus? Following Jesus means, guess what? Y'all heard this morning. Spending time with Him. I think that's one of the most important elements of following Jesus. Walking with Him. Spending time with Him. That's what these first followers of Jesus did. They just walked with Him. They asked Him questions. They listened to answers. They just spent time with Him. And as we've been studying in John, they didn't understand everything. But they still walked with Him and listened, didn't they? They still walked with Him and listened. They were with Him. They spent time with Him. Mark 3:14 says that when Jesus called the 12 to follow, that He did it so that they would be with Him and that He could send them out to preach. That's what it says. Jesus called those first followers to minister to other people and to preach to other people, just like He calls us to do, to go out into the world and preach the gospel message. But guess what? First, He just called them and He called us to follow Him first. That's what He said. He said that first. That's what salvation really is. God made us so that we can be with Him forever. But ever since the time that Eve messed everything up in the garden, I'm just kidding there, Adam and Eve, we have all sinned. And our sins, what? It separated us from God. We all know this. If God hadn't done anything for us, none of us sitting in this room, none of these disciples would ever be able to be with Him in heaven. But Jesus came. He died on a cross to pay for my sins, to pay for your sins, to bring us back to God. Not just so we could be saved, but like 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also died for the sins once for all, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Right? The whole purpose for which we're saved is that we might come back to God to be with Him. And that's a big privilege of being saved, is it not? That is a big privilege of following Jesus, is that we get to be with Him. We ought to look at more of a privilege, an honor, than a something more of a chore, something that we have to do. We get to be with God Almighty, have a relationship with Him. Let Him speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Think about that. Following Him also means more than just spending time with Him. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus talks a lot about what it means to really follow Him. And I won't read it all, I'm just going to read some of it. But Matthew chapter 10, we're going to look at some of the highlights He said. In 10:32, He said, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So part of what it means to follow Jesus is to publicly align with Him as our Lord and Savior. How do we do that today? Well, one of the first things is called what? Baptism. That's how, right? That's we do a baptism. Why does baptism save us? No, I do not believe it saves us. I believe we ought to do it first and foremost because Jesus did it. And if we're going to be followers of Jesus, shouldn't we do what he did? Did he get baptized? Yes, he did get baptized. Did he get water sprinkled on him? No, he went under the water and came up. Did he not? So if we're going to be followers of Jesus, but we do it to give a public announcement that we are going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. And then after we get that done, God gives us opportunities, each and every one of us. He puts us in different places, right? Different subdivisions, different jobs, whatever the case may be. Why does he do that? So that then we can have opportunities. Every single one of us, it don't matter how old or young you are. It doesn't matter if you're Sophie's age or if you're Leon's age. It doesn't matter. Guess what? We all have opportunities to tell people about Jesus. We should not back away from those opportunities. Claiming Jesus publicly is part of what it means to follow him, based on 10:32. 10:25, what's it say? Verse 10:25. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? All right. So is it enough for the disciple that he can become like a master? So part of following Jesus is that we are to what? Become more like him. Very first thing, his character, the Beatitudes. Matthew 5:3-12. The Beatitudes, read it. That's Jesus' character. If we're going to be like him, we ought to have his character. We're also to become more like him in our ministry. We're to follow Jesus by doing the things that he would be doing in this world. So what would Jesus be doing in this world? What would he be doing? Or what is he doing? He'd be talking to people about Jesus. He'd be telling people. He'd be preaching the gospel message. He'd be talking to them. In Matthew 4:23, we find that the ministry of Jesus here on earth, it's outlined for us. And what did he do when he was here? It said on Matthew 4:23, worshiping God and serving him by reaching and teaching and caring for people. Are we doing that? How about this? Loving him. Did y'all hear that this morning? I don't know if Brother Ray mentioned this, but loving him. Matthew 10:37, he who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying that we're not to love anyone or anything in this life more than him. So part of following Jesus is loving him. Now if I ask y'all, do you love Jesus, every one of you is going to say, yeah. And I would too. So let's change it. Do you love him like you ought to? Do I love him like I ought to? Because I really believe if we loved him like we ought to, we could all raise our hand with confidence saying that we're following Jesus and doing everything he's telling us to do. When you are really saved, we just don't fill out a card, right? We should fall in love with Jesus. 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. When you get really saved, when you really get saved and the relationship is real, Peter says you love Jesus for who he is and for what he has done for you. A big part of following Jesus is loving him. Just like Mary. Think about Mary, whom in Luke 10 says just sat at the feet of Jesus, loving him and listening to his word. All these things are part of what it means to follow Jesus, okay? It means that we have to leave some things behind, right? We should be leaving some things behind. If you haven't left anything behind, then what should you be leaving behind? It means that we will confess him publicly, okay? You say, well, maybe I've never witnessed to anybody. Maybe I've never talked to anybody about him publicly. Well, guess what? Start tonight. Start tomorrow. It's never too late. God's got you breathing here, right? Don't worry about and focus on the things of the past. Make a commitment that you're going to tell somebody about Jesus tomorrow and the next day. It means that we spend time with Him. You may be saying, I hadn't read my Bible this week. In fact, I haven't even picked up my Bible until I went to church on Sunday morning. And I'll pick it up again next Sunday morning, or I'll pick it up again Wednesday, right? Now look, I'm telling you right now, I don't read my Bible every day, so I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. And that's a problem. We spend time with Him, studying, praying. It becomes we start becoming like Him. It means that we do the things that He did when He was on earth. It means that we just love Him for who He is and for what He's done for us. And that's exactly what following Jesus means. Now let me ask you, based on these things, and I'm sure there's more, now can you say that you're truly following Jesus? Have you confessed Him publicly in baptism? And do you continue to confess Him in front of others when situations arise? Do you spend time with Him in His Word in prayer and worship? Are there times when you just love Him and sing to Him when you're not in church, but it's just when you love Him and you're so excited and you're going on the road and you're singing praises to Him? Are you doing those things? Are you becoming more like Him? Are you more humble? Are you more dependent on Him? Are you more holy? Are you doing what Jesus would be doing in this world? Are you going where Jesus would be going? Am I going where Jesus would be going? And if we're not going where Jesus would be going in this world, and you're not doing, and I'm not doing what Jesus would be doing in this world, then I think it's safe to say that we can't really honestly say that we're following Jesus. That's the facts. Following Jesus means a whole lot more than just clicking the button on Twitter or Facebook or whatever you click on. It means leaving our old life, all kinds of other things behind as we confess Him as our Lord and Savior and base our whole life on what He'd have us to do. Man, I tell you, wouldn't you like, can you? I can't wait to meet some of the men in the Bible we read about, these men of faith. And I asked Brother Ray this morning in our Sunday school class if we would have conversations like that. Like, would I be able to go up to the Apostle Paul and say, man, how in the world did you do that? How was you so faithful? Beaten all those times? I mean, here you are serving the Lord, got thrown in jail. You and old Silas, I believe it was, singing prayers at midnight. You know what I'd have been doing? Crying and complaining, woe is me. Because of their faithfulness, that old Philippian jailer got saved. Amen. So I don't know if we'll have to have those conversations, but those men of faith, isn't the same Holy Spirit that used the Apostle Paul alive today in each one of us? I believe if you asked old Paul and you, I don't know if you've ever done a study on Paul. I've read a couple books on Paul, but I believe there's no doubt there was times where he might have got a little bit disheartened, right, and all that. But you know, he just kept his eyes focused on the Lord all the time. He just kept his eyes focused on the Lord. And because of that, he was truly following Jesus, and he was spending time in prayer, and he was spending time studying probably. And he had left a lot of things behind. Paul left a lot behind. He was having Christians put to death for the love of goodness. He left a lot behind. Did he stop doing that nonsense? Last thing. What will happen when we truly start following Jesus? Based on Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. I've already read it. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. As we follow Jesus, our life is all about Him. We've seen this based on what we've been talking about. He will be the center of our life. But as we follow Him, He's going to give us ministries that we can do to people. He said, I will make you fishers of men. Did he not? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. As we follow Jesus, people will become the focus, or should become the focus, of our ministry. People. People that are different than us. That was true of Jesus when he walked here on earth. He was about reaching and teaching and caring for people. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, Luke 19:10. When James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven in Luke 9:56, y'all remember this? They wanted to kill some people who wouldn't take Jesus and his disciples in. What Jesus do? He rebuked them. And he said, you don't know what kind of spirit you are of. I did not come and destroy men's lives, but to save them. Jesus said he came for a purpose, to give my life as a ransom for many. On and on, Jesus came to glorify God. He was all about his relationship with his heavenly Father, and we're studying that in John now. But his ministry here on earth was all about touching people, all kinds of different people. We need to remember that following Jesus will lead us to minister to people that Jesus loves. And Jesus loves who? Everybody. Not the ones that always dress right, not the ones that always smell right, not the ones that's always on their best behavior, not the ones that ain't messed up in the head, if you know what I mean, and believe in some of the things that we don't believe in. He died for them just like he died for us. He died for a drunkard just like he died for a lesbian. He died for a dope head just like he did for a queer, or whatever you want to call them, all that stuff. But you understand, he still loved them. And he called some of us to minister to those folks. I remember one time I was at a prayer advance, and I met a pastor who was preaching up in south of Winchester, Randy. Spit out some things. You turn right on 66 and it's the first exit on the right. Come on, somebody talk to me. What's that little area called? Huh? No. This side of Warrenton. This side of the mountain of Warrenton. Front row area. Who said it? Oh, yeah, you did. Good job, Daryl. But anyway, the ladies in their church started a lesbian ministry. Meaning, they met with ladies that was participating in that. And many of them got converted and stopped doing it, and their church grew. Think about that. I don't know why I'm saying that, but anyway. Following Jesus, what will happen? It says we'll be fishers of men. It says that we will minister to people that Jesus loves. Following Jesus is not just about learning facts. 1 Timothy 1:5 says the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. He says that all this reading, if you're one of those folks that read and you study every day, I'm happy for you. I'm glad for you. You're doing way better than me when it comes to that. But let me ask you, if it ain't to grow in love, and if it ain't to share it, and it ain't to do something with it, what are you doing it for? Following Jesus isn't just learning a bunch of verses or facts. It's about loving people. Christianity is not some big school, so to speak, where we have to learn all these things and we have to get all these right answers, and then we have to spew them out to Jesus before we can get into heaven. We are to get into God's Word every single day, or we ought to every single day, for the purpose of learning to love Him and love His people like He does. That's the reason why we ought to do it. To learn how to love like He does, unconditionally. If we're not doing that, then we're missing it. I'm missing it. Following Jesus is not just about learning a bunch of facts. Following Jesus is not about ministering to a building. I'm glad Brother Ray thinks that our church is nice. And I'm thankful for Diane, and she does do a good job. But there's a lot of people that, worship a building. Some people make their religion all about a building, construction, some big beautiful facility, keeping it up. We should keep it up. And making sure it stays beautiful. We should. As if the building was what Jesus called us to minister to. If following Jesus is about to keep in Valley View Baptist up to par, so to speak, then let's just lock the doors and keep everybody out so it don't get messed up. Making a big deal about mud on the floor or whatever the case may be. He didn't say, follow me, at least I don't find anywhere, and I will make you keepers of buildings. He said, follow me, and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. It must never be about buildings themselves, but the people God called us to reach who fills up the building. It must. How about money? How about money? How about money? Just like buildings, there's money is something that we use for God's work. We use our church for God's work, and we should, try to keep it busy. But it can't be about the building. It's got to be about using the building to reach people. Same thing with money. We're not here to just stockpile a bunch of money, I don't believe. We don't live for the world's bottom line, or we shouldn't be. If you think the bottom line of this church, right, Valley View, is the amount of money that we have in our general fund, and I think personally we got something wrong. Our bottom line is the way we touch people for the glory of God, or should be. That's what Jesus is saying to us. He's saying, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. How are you doing at following Jesus? How can we really know how we're doing? One of the best ways is about what we're talking about this point right now. Are you fishing for men? Are we fishing for men and women and kids? Men in general, humankind. You with me on that? Are we fishing for humankind? We openly admitted it in our Sunday school this morning. Thursday night visitation stopped long before COVID hit. I bet we ain't did Thursday night visitations in 10 years. So how can we say we're following Jesus? How can Brian Sink say he's following Jesus because he gets up here and teaches Sunday school on Sunday mornings? Because I talk to the youth on Wednesday nights? Because I come to church every time the doors are open unless... Based on what I've studied and what I've read, that ain't following Jesus. That's parts of it. But if we're not fishing for men, we're not doing the main part. Are we fishing for men like Jesus said we would if we're following him? Are we reaching people? Are we discipling people? Are we caring and loving for people? Are we touching people with our life? Jesus said that's what following him is all about. If you follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It doesn't say follow me and I'll think about making you fishers of men. Or I might make you fishers of men. It says I will make you fishers of men. That's what this word says. After Jesus' death and resurrection, he took some time to walk, to talk with old Peter about all he had been through and how he had denied him three times. And at the end of it all, Jesus said to Peter, this is what he said. He said, follow me. Peter had some questions. He had some things he wanted to know. He wondered what was going to happen to John. But Jesus said to him, what is it to you? You follow me. Follow me. When all was said and done in the Gospels, Jesus' command was the same to Peter as it had been when he first found him here in Matthew chapter 4, as it was at the end of chapter 9 when he had died and resurrected and was walking, you understand what I'm saying, at the end, and he told him the same thing, follow me. I have no doubt that this is exactly what Jesus is calling us to do today, to follow Him. We don't have to sit here today and wonder if Jesus was up here in the flesh, standing right here, what would He say to us today? He would say the same thing He was saying right here, follow Me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is He not? His message would be the same today as it was over and over again in His words, and that is, follow Me. That's all I got. I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge you to think about it. Some of these things we talked about and some of the things that God laid on my heart. And you may, I'm checking the box on some of these things. Are you with me? I think all of us can say that. We're getting some things right. We're doing some things right. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when we sit here and we see numbers declining, church growth declining, all these empty, when I first came here, it was 150-some people coming to this church. I was sitting right back over there. I tell you what's happening. We're not truly following Him, because if we was, we'd be fishing for men. And every person in here, if we start fishing for men, this church will grow for His glory. Would it not? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for speaking to my heart through this message, Lord. And I know, Lord, that I'm not worthy. I know that I fail more times than not, Lord. And I know that I'm not following You the way that I ought to every single day of my life. Lord, there has been seasons in my life where I've had that closeness to You. But Lord, I want it all the time. And we can have it, Lord. We can have it. So I pray that You would lay on our hearts tonight, Lord, that we would think about what we've heard tonight, Lord, that it would ponder in our minds and our thoughts for the next coming days, Lord, and maybe just help us to do a better job, Lord, of becoming fishers of men, Lord, that we would go out and just love on people and tell them about You. Help us to not be afraid. Help us to not be ashamed. Help us to not have 1,000 excuses, Lord. If there's anyone here tonight, Lord, under the sound of my voice, it is not certain that if they were to die tonight, that they would be with You in heaven. I pray that You would not let them leave here tonight, Lord, till they come to know You as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, bless each family that's represented here, each person. Protect us as we go out these doors, and help us to honor and glorify You by truly following You and becoming fishers of men. We're going to thank You for it in Christ's name. Amen.